News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Welcome to Breakfast Business, and I'm delighted to say, coming in for an early kickoff this morning, we have an extended interview now with FAI Chief Executive John Delaney, primarily about the business of running the FAI and football in Ireland. John, thanks for coming in, appreciate it. I'm not sure whether you normally have these kind of early kickoffs or not. Let's get straight down to business. Next week, you're going to unveil the details of your new premium multi-year scheme for tickets in the Aviva Stadium. I think your target is to sell 3,750 of these tickets. You have about 3,200 members at the moment. The plan to raise about €12 million.
That's it, Vincent. I mean, good morning to you. Great to be on and talk about the FAI and also explain the business to your listenership. Yes, next week we launch our 10-year ticket scheme. The tickets will be €5,000 for 10 years. If you buy the tickets for 5 years, it'll be €3,000. And for 3 years, if you buy them, it's €2,000. So we believe that's the best value in Irish sport in terms of a premium experience at the Aviva Stadium.
Your plan is to try to sell 3,750 of these. Is that an overly ambitious target, though, given that people can buy a season ticket now for as little as €120?
Yeah, I mean, our season ticket prices are great value. I think that's well recognised.
Are cheap, some people would say.
Yeah, but you know what? I met the supporters last night, a whole group of Irish supporters last night, just for a working session and talking through a lot of points. And in our season tickets, we have 16,500 season ticket holders. But there are two different markets. One is for the guys who want to play or want to come and watch the team through a season ticket holder in general admission area. The other ones would be for small businesses and for corporates so that we can give them a premium experience. And I'm confident under our new commercial director, Mark Russell, that we'll achieve our targets this time around.
I know you acknowledged at the AGM in Cork last August that you got things badly wrong the last time, 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I know that you farmed it out to IMG at the time. I know you had a spanking new stadium, the Aviva. The football team at the time was probably delivering better performances. But you have to admit, looking back, your expectations were actually grandiose at the time, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. And there's no taking away from that. I think at the time we were building the Aviva for the first time. Obviously, it was a €410 million project, this iconic stadium. It was a huge project to be involved in. And the financing of it was done with government grants, obviously, and direct funding from both the FAI and the IRFU and naming rights. We got the best possible research available to us from a company called Comperio Research. ISG were involved in selling the tickets. So we had international firms advising us. What happened then? It happened in the middle of a crisis. It was the greatest economic crisis of all time.
That's a fair point. But do you have to take some responsibility for pitching it too high at the time?
Oh, definitely. I'm coming to that for sure. I mean, I'm given the context of, good advisors telling you that this will work, the downturn in the recession, which was huge at the time. But in there, we were part of judging tickets to go to the market, and we got the prices wrong. There's no doubt about that. All that said, we did get on to build the stadium. We did meet our contribution of €95 million, and our debt today at the Aviva Stadium is €28 million. So we've built the stadium. The debt now is reasonable, and we've brought some incredible events to the Aviva Stadium over the last 10 years.
We'll come back to the debt later in the chat. How important is it in trying to sell these near 4,000 premium level tickets that those buyers will get first priority on the four matches in Dublin for the 2020 tournament?
I think, first of all, if you buy the tickets for 10 years, if you buy a ticket for €5,000, which is effectively €500 a year, you get to see a large number of games. And the value in that is extraordinary. You could see six, seven, eight internationals. And there'll be some very big games during those 10 years, obviously all the way through to 2030. In terms of tickets for the Euros in 2020, just to let your viewers remind them that the Euros is coming to Dublin, that the four games will be played in the Aviva. If Ireland qualify for the tournament, we would have at least two of our home games in Dublin, the other game could be in Dublin as well, or could be in Bilbao. So there would be a huge search for tickets. You can't guarantee anybody, if you buy a 10-year ticket, that you're going to get a ticket for those games. But what I will say is, if we do qualify, we'll work as hard as we can to get as many tickets as possible for, our, first of all, our loyal Hearts supporters who go to all our games. And then we'll look at who's invested across the game, be it sponsors or 10-year ticket holders, and do our best to get as many people tickets as possible.
The plan is to raise about 12 million euro from the sale of these 3, 5 and 10-year tickets. And then you're going to have the UEFA television money coming in as well.
Yeah.
That's the plan. There's those two lumps of money, basically, is the plan to wipe out the 20 million euro debt.
That's the plan, yeah, to clear the Aviva debt for once and for all and have it down to nothing. I mean, at one stage, maybe it was 78 million or something like that. It's 28 million today. I think we've done really well to bring that debt down.
Why has it been so critical for you personally, it seems, to clear the debt by 2020? I mean, why can you not just extend the mortgage? I think a lot of critics might say you're putting the repayment of the mortgage ahead of distributing more money out to the clubs and the grassroots.
Well, I think first and foremost, we've built the game over the last 10 years. So if you look at what we've invested in the game, we've invested nearly a quarter of a billion into grassroots, 240 million. So while we've been repaying the Aviva debt, we've been funding the grassroots game even to a higher figure.
But you could put more out if you extend. Like, why is it so important to clear that debt by 2020?
Well, the board took the view that having started the project 10 years ago, that within 10 years we'd get it down to nothing. And we've stuck to that course. Naturally, if you clear your debt, there's more money then to be spent on football.
But if you extend your debt reasonably in a position that you can pay it, you can actually distribute more every year. And God knows football around the country needs it as much as possible.
There's a point in there that if other major projects came our way, it's only under those circumstances that we would look at going the route you've just said, extending our debt and not clearing it by 2020. And an example of that would be a fully fledged World Cup bid with England, Scotland, Northern Ireland, and Wales for 2030,
which will come, sir.
Yeah. So at the moment, the view is pretty clear and pretty simple. Let's clear the debt. But if other projects come our way that need investment, well, then we could take a different course.
Could it be almost a personal target of John Delaney's to clear that debt on that stadium, to say, I got full ownership of our part of the stadium before I moved on to something else?
No, well, certainly the something else, no. I think it certainly was a course that we set as a board, and there's been a lot of discussions about debt. You see that even with Páirc Uíochmhainn and any major project that's been built in this country, there seems to be discussions about how much it costs and debt. It would be great for us as a national association if by the end of next year that we were debt-free, because it would take it off the agenda.
Speaking of funding, and I know it has come to an end now, but you also confirmed at the AGM last August that the businessman Dennis O'Brien had contributed 12.5 million euro over 10 years. Is it right that a professionally run national football organisation in the 21st century should be so dependent on the philanthropy of one person?
Well, first of all, what Dennis O'Brien did was unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
But it's a bit cap in hand for the organisation, isn't it?
Well, he came to us at a time, we're building the stadium, and he said, look, if you want to go and get world-class, top-class managers, if you want to pay the market rate or above that to bring top managers into Ireland, I'll help you. And there's no doubt about it, it helped us to bring Trapattoni and Tardelli. When we sat with Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane, we were able to afford salaries that either of them may well have been able to get in the Premier League at that time. So there's no doubt that money, when it came, was vital. Dennis never interfered in any way whatsoever. He just said, listen, there's the money, on you go. And then we took a view with Dennis recently enough that, look, we'll stand on our own 2 feet now. What you've done has been absolutely brilliant. It was essential at the time.
And you'll stand on your own 2 feet from now on?
Absolutely, absolutely.
You talk about the board there, John, and the board taking a decision that the debt should be paid off as quickly as possible. Why has it taken Sports Ireland to bring you, force you almost, to bring in what would be seen as reasonable corporate governance measures, such as fixed terms, 8 years, for your board directors, which, to be honest with, and without being disparaging, is filled with elderly men?
Well, first and foremost, you have to remember that the FAI board many years ago was 23 people. And we had to reduce it to 10, which again you've got the members to get on board. And when everybody talks about the association like we're doing now, when everyone goes away after the interview, there's hundreds of thousands of people involved in the game day in, day out, doing great work on a voluntary basis in all parts of this country.
And nobody's doubting that, but good corporate governance should mean a limited term, and you know, and you've had to be forced to do that.
Well, let me take that on a little bit more now, because we reduced the board from 23 to 10, and we took a woman, Niamh O'Donoghue, onto the board 2 years ago, which brought it to 11. And then the government have brought in legislation for all sporting bodies, that there would be term limits and many other changes in the running of all sporting bodies by 2021. I think, Vincent, what we did is we did the right thing. We brought it in 2 years earlier. And the term limits the government recognise are 9 years. We brought that in as 8 years. So we've actually lessened the term limit that the government would have recommended. And we've brought it in 2 years earlier.
Fair enough. Why no term limit for yourself? Arguably the most important and powerful person on the board. There's no term limit for you as chief executive.
I think in terms of a CEO is an employee of an organisation. I don't know of term limits for CEOs. I know there are other CEOs in sport who are there a lot longer than I am. And I think the most important...
That just doesn't necessarily make it right, of course.
No, but that's, I suppose, an employee is an employee, Vincent. But coming back to the main other point, we were asked to reduce... Or sorry, legislation was brought in place that would be enforced in 2021. We have it in 2019. That's us. And all the other sporting bodies must do the same. And if you don't agree with some part of it, you have to opt out. And I think also the fact that the term limits that the government wanted in were 9 years, that we brought in 8 years, shows that we're well on our way to
do you accept, though, that a lot of people would look at the FAI board as being people who know each other very well through football, through long-term relationships, that it's all too cosy, that that board doesn't challenge you and effectively gives you too much authority?
Oh, that's just not true. Anybody who would be in the organisation would know that not to be true. And I suppose that there...
But there might be the perception outside.
Well, that can be because, you know, people may write articles in a certain way. But when you come back to the running of the organisation, there's 200 staff and the administration are responsible for the implementing of the policy. And the policy is determined by the board. So on a monthly basis, the board gets full reports as to how the organisation has been run. That can be budgetary reports, international reports, bidding for World Cups, entering to the Viva Stadium, women's football, universities and colleges, work that we do in disadvantaged areas. So there's a range of projects that are reported to the board, but the implementation of that goes to the administration, and the administration is 200 full-time staff.
The FAI has responsibility for the running of the League of Ireland at the moment. Mm-hmm. Are you prepared to meet Niall Quinn and the others behind him for their ambitious, to discuss at least their ambitious plans to revamp ownership and funding of the League of Ireland?
Definitely. Frank Gavin, our competitions director, met Niall Quinn before Christmas. Fran looked to meet Niall to explain to Niall, this is what we do in the League of Ireland. In other words, these are things you may not know. The youth development projects we have, the fact that we have educational ETB programmes, which is the equivalent of FITEC 5 and 200 kids a year coming under that scheme, that 9 of the League of Ireland clubs have third level college education, stuff like that, much, much more than that. So Fran wanted to explain that to Niall, and Niall has said that if and when he's ready to come back, he'll come back and speak to the association. But that's not the only...
And talk to you?
Oh, absolutely.
And are you open to new ideas?
In the league? Yeah. Absolutely.
Because there is a feeling, I suppose, that perhaps at least this proposal has done, whether it's practical or not, is has brought fresh new ideas, which doesn't seem to have come from the board of the FAI over the years.
Well, no, we had the Conroy report a couple of years ago. We had the Conroy report, and that was accepted by all partners, and we've been about implementing that. What we've been speaking to the league clubs about is how the league is run into the future. Now, at the moment, the FAI run the league. We're in charge of running the league. We took it over a number of years ago. When we took it over, the clubs had a €7 million collective loss. That's not the case now. We've brought the clubs back to a better financial situation. What we're talking about now is what's the next step. So also in there, just to let your listeners know, there was no underage structures in the National League when we took them over. So now every team has an under-19 team, an under-17 team, an under-15 team, and an under-13 team. And that's paramount. That's really paramount. Now, you put all that together and the changes and the positive changes of where the league was to where it is today, it's the next step we're looking at. from the FAI's point of view, we'd like a hybrid system whereby the league clubs would run the FAI with us. If the league clubs want to go and run the league on their own, that's okay too.
So you're open to all reasonable ideas?
Absolutely. If that betters Irish football and betters the league, absolutely.
We're running out of time, unfortunately, John. A lot of people might say 2020 might be the year for you to move on to something else, whether within football and UEFA and you're on the executive council or not. You'll have been 16 years in place as chief executive. You'll have run, hopefully, a very successful European tournament, 4 matches in Dublin. You'll be debt-free, hopefully, on the stadium. Is that a reasonable career projection?
I haven't honestly given that a thought. I think at the moment, there's so many big projects on our table in this particular year. The League of Ireland we've just spoken about. The World Cup feasibility study, which we're involved with England, Scotland, Northern Wales.
That's for 2030.
It's for 2030, but the
are you confident about that?
Well, first of all, we're working together. We met in Rome only last week, the five of us, and it is gathering. It is gathering a lot more work, and it's the main aim to be really straight is. If that bid is going to go ahead, it must be the only bid out of Europe, because then it has a great chance of winning.
And when would that bid have to be made?
It would have to be made. Officially, the bid would have to be announced next year, and then the decision would be made at the FIFA Congress, probably down in Qatar in the back end of 2022.
And that would be a tremendous achievement, John. Without being facetious, if all of that were to happen and we were part of a successful bid for the World Cup, you'd have to say till 2030.
No.
You're only 51.
I'm only 51, but what I'm really probably saying a moment ago is that we've got a lot of priorities. We're implementing our own strategy of the FAI, which will finishes up in 2020. So we've got to look at that in the summer and do a new strategy document for the association. We have the under 21 Euro bid with Northern Ireland for 2023. And we're 100 years in football in 2021, so we've got a lot
of key dates for John Delaney to be around for.
Well, there's a few there, but what I'm really saying, you know, is that, look, there's a lot of big projects on board, and we'll take a view at some stage, of course, when your time is going to come up. But with those projects on board, you've got to pick the right time.
John Delaney, thanks for coming into us.